even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Up to 90.
Sure. Look, here we are again.
What else would we be doing, Emma? Another week over. Can you believe it?
We have been doing this podcast 2.5 years. Is that right?
2.5 years, baby. It's been, to be honest, like, that's serious commitment on our part, isn't it?
It's fucking madness, isn't it?
It's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, but you know what? It's funny because when you think about it, when I started the podcast, like, I was single, ready to mingle. Like, our lives have changed so much over the course of the podcast.
It's, oh my God, like, it's just, what have we been doing? I know we've been doing a lot, but like, in terms of our comedy careers, what have we been doing?
I know, professionally speaking, I'm just like, ugh, I don't know where it's at. But you've done loads recently.
When you look back at things, you notice like that there's about a 9 month gap roughly between like, oh, good news story time.
Well, yeah,
too long to waste for good news stories, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a floodgate scenario down here in West Kerry either when it comes to the professional good news stories, to be quite honest.
Oh, so look, we'll soldier on. At least the podcast has been constant.
The podcast has been constant. And do you know what? Let's just take a moment now to give a big shout out to 6 of our latest patrons. Yes. Because the Patreon, because to be fair, the Patreon just does, it does really give us great comfort, doesn't it, Emma?
Well, that's how we basically, the patron activity is how we measure whether or not to keep going.
But it is actually how we measure whether or not we should keep going. And we are, look, we'll look at doing a few more bits, a few more kind of different bits and bobs when it comes to Patreon, because a few people messaged us with ideas and all. You see, I forget, sometimes I throw out on the Patreon, we'd love to hear some ideas, and then I forget to actually read them. Do you know, it's like when somebody asks you a question and you answer them and they're just staring out the window. So we have had some wonderful ideas, and the Patreon is what keeps us going, because we're like, look, this is our baby. So we've had 6 new patrons get involved. We've had Lainey H, we've had Emma G, we've had Michelle, one name only, we've had Darren, and we've had Andrea B, and we've had a celebrity get on board. Celebrity get on board. We absolutely love him. Good old Tony Cantwell.
Oh yeah.
What a doubt. So thank you so much. I mean, one of us should probably return the favour here, but
I was thinking we should probably subscribe to a few things as Up to 90.
Let's do that actually. Yeah, because then it's, you know, it's quid pro quo. Like, that's kind of how it works, isn't it? Like, I've signed up to you, blind boy. Come on. Like, sign up to 90, please. Yeah, good thinking. Let's go under the subterfuge of Up to 90. So thanks so much, guys. If you do fancy 4 extra episodes a week, $3 a month, I mean, you just can't beat that value.
Up to 90, up to 90, up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
So even just as a person, like off stage, he's just a funny guy, you know?
Yeah, he's really lovely, yeah. And his little boy is so cute. He's such a mini-me.
I haven't seen any pictures of him. Where can I see these pictures?
On his Mrs. Instagram account. Tony's a pro. Like, I've been milking this pregnancy from day one because I've got nothing else going on in my life. Tony's like, do you know what? I don't fancy commodifying my unborn child. Whereas I'm literally like, okay, new tier on Patreon. It's going to be my ultrasound pictures. Like, I've no morals. I've the morals of a tomcat when it comes to this. So Tony's doing it the right way.
But you see, it's all slightly abstract at the moment. You might feel differently when baby is here.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, I think I will be I wouldn't be one at the moment anyway. For as much as I bang on all the time about how I want more followers on social media, I'm not giving people out here. I don't give people much as it is. So I can't really see that changing when I have the baby.
What do you mean you don't give them a lot? I thought you were posting all the time.
Well, I do want, like, the pregnancy blog thing, and I do like the sketch videos and the tweets. But what I mean is, you know, the Instagram stories, which is really just, you know, it's the Truman Show, isn't it? It's just finding out what somebody's had for breakfast and, you know, now I'm putting a wash on and that kind of thing. And they're the stories I watch and that I love. But I don't know what it is. I can't. I just haven't been great from that side of things. So I would say in terms of the grid, I've been good in content, but with the stories, I can't really see me becoming a big story head once the baby's here.
Like you don't feel comfortable doing them? Are they not your go-to?
I used to say, and I think I said to you, on occasion, yeah, I just feel like I'm kind of a private person. Like I don't, do you know what it is? I'm just so lazy. That's all it is. I'm too lazy to be posting stories.
I don't think you're lazy.
No. Well, when I am, though, when it comes to things like that, because every day I say 5 stories, Julie, come on, you can do it. But sure, there's nothing getting done anymore because I've signed up to Hey You.
Okay, yeah.
Do you have Hey You? Oh, I mean, yeah. Real Housewives, we now have access to Real Housewives of Atlanta, New York, and Beverly Hills. They each have 10 seasons. So there's just nothing happening now because I got hooked on Netflix. They showed the first 2 seasons and I had a conversation with somebody at the weekend and they said the exact same thing. That's how they hook you in and then you go on a hunt. You're searching, how can I find more? And you realize you have to sign up to Hey You. So there's nothing getting done at the moment.
See, I was actually writing a thing like similar to this today, but I won't go into that because that's boring for people. But and this probably will be as well. But that is one thing that I'm missing is it lockdown? I don't know. During this period of time I'm missing that alone time when I get to watch trash TV.
It's a very special time.
Because now if I'm watching trash, it's kind of like robbed moments here and there on my phone and stuff.
And not the same.
I want the opportunity to watch it in the sitting room with the big telly. Do you know what I mean? Like that's...
Yeah. And then minus the cynical commentary. That's key as well because you need to be on your own.
Like, you know that it's trash and whatever, but you just want to switch your brain off.
Yeah, well, it's bubblegum. And I just think there's nothing wrong with a bit of bubblegum. Like, for some people, they run on a treadmill. Others listen to music. Others just need to watch a bit of Beverly Hills trash. I mean, that's what we need. Like every now and again, Fred will come into me and say things like, I wish I was one of your desperate housewives. And I'm like, it's Real Housewives. Okay. It's a totally different thing. But yeah, come here, tell me how any news from the weekend? Trampolining like mad, I presume.
Trampoline is still going strong. I went and got my hair coloured on Saturday morning.
Lovely.
So it was just the old roots needed a bit of a touch up. I don't think I've gotten a coloured since, like, in the hairdresser since fucking January or something. But I made the very adult decision then not to have a drink on Friday night, because I was like, it'd be bad enough being in the hairdressers getting your hair done with a hangover. But I was like, with all the masks and everything, I was like, sweet baby Jesus. Oh. So I went to the hairdressers and they've got less stations and less stylists in there at one time. And then the hairdressers wear like a face shield thing that you attach to your hair.
I got my hair done last week as well. Yeah, and the girl was doing the same. She just had one person in at all times and we were both wearing masks.
Well, she said to me while she was doing my hair, she was like, You can take your mask off while I'm dyeing your hair, because she's like, I have a mask on, so it would be grand. And you see, because she was doing a full head of colour, it would have just gotten like very fucking messy. So I was like, yeah, grand. So that was the crack with that. They had a good old setup or whatever. And
who's your hairdresser? Hairdresser again? I know you gave them a shout out before.
Highlights. Taylor's Lane, and the hairdresser that does my hair is Emma. So,
Emma.
She's entertaining, like, so. She's good at doing hair, but she's entertaining as well. So that was the crack. That's basically the highlight. I didn't do much else, to be honest.
I got my hair done last week as well, and just to give a very quick shout out to Nuala. Nuala O'Connor in Hair Therapy in Dingle is so fab. And she lent me her GHD as well when I was going down. You know, I did the Dahi show on Friday.
Yeah.
So you know yourself, you're like, I'm getting 4 days out of this blow dry. I don't even care. Like, there's no way I'm like embracing the curl just yet. So she also lent me her GHD for the weekend. So thank you so much.
The Dahi show, what's it called? Is it called the Dahi show?
So it's called Shal Le Dahi. So right. Just a little bit of time with Dahi, and it's his Taoiseach Carter show, and it was so great. It was brilliant. I was telling you before I came on, really, really good. And they film it down in Waterford. I said that really weird. Waterford. Waterford in Ring, and it's this little prefab, and you drive past it, and Google Maps is like, you have arrived. And you think, no, I haven't. I haven't arrived. And then Fred spots a Taoiseach Carter sign, like kind of a car bumper sticker on one of the cars. So you think, okay, this must be the place.
Mm.
And the team were so lovely. Great old crack. I wasn't expecting Dahi's questions to be so probing. It was actually a great interview.
So you and Dahi are dating now, are you? Or what's the book?
We are official. But I did say to him at the end, that is now, you know, that's 50 quid saved for me, because otherwise I'd be handing this over to a counsellor. That was a half an hour well spent. Thank you so much. And then we hung out in a B&B, nice B&B, but the family, the couple running out, were just a little bit strange. You know what it was? I find, you know, with English people.
Oh, here we go.
This is when England switches off. But, you know, they're quite comfortable in silence. But we're not comfortable in silence at all. So we have to fill that bad boy. But I just think with English people, they're lovely. They're so polite. They're friendly. But there's just a lot of comfortable silence, which I can't hack whatsoever.
I don't think that's an Irish-English thing. I think that's a people Julie thing.
No, stop. But do you not find that sometimes with English people that they're quite comfortable? They don't feel the need to fill the silence necessarily.
But I would just find that with, I mean, I find that, I mean, I don't know, and probably don't know enough English people to compare, but I would find that with Irish people.
Well, I know two English people now, and they're the couple that run the B&B, and they were so, they were so nice. But even when I left, I was like, is there a key for the front door? And the man was like, what front door? I just said, riddle me this, riddle me that. What the hell is going on here? But it was a lovely B&B, despite the riddles. And then the next morning we were having the breakfast, because you know the way, it doesn't matter where you're staying, if you pay for the breakfast is happening. And Fred, I woke him up and he was saying, oh, I'm still a bit full from the dinner. No, no, no. The clue was in the name, Fred, bed and breakfast. Getting up. So I dragged him out of the bed. I said, there is no way we're leaving here until you've gotten a breakfast into you. Because you know when you've paid for it.
Oh, you're having it.
Yeah, you're having it. Sorry. So poor Fred was kind of grey in the face and I dragged him out for the breakfast. And then they forgot to bring the toast. And you know what? Then I made this huge deal of just ask them for the toast. Just ask them for the toast. And Fred, his response was he didn't want to be a Karen. But I just don't think it's a Karen move to ask for the toast, because they obviously want to give the toast. They've just forgotten the toast.
Well, you see, this is what happens with me, with Shane. We'll go somewhere, and I'm not talking about out for dinner. I'm just talking like if we're away somewhere and we bring the kids out for food, right? And this happened one time where we're sitting at a table and the food comes, right? And there's no cutlery. And I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
And this isn't McDonald's. You know, there should be cutlery. McDonald's is the only restaurant that gets away with no cutlery.
It wasn't McDonald's, but it wasn't far off, right? It was like pub or something. We're in Waterford, right, or somewhere. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I get up and go up to the bar and I was like, can we get cutlery? Like, we've just gotten our food and there's no cutlery. And Shane's like mortified that I've gone to get cutlery because he just wanted to wait it out and hoped that they'd notice us just staring at our food. I was just like, would you ever fuck off? But he wants me to take charge of that and do that because do it. Do you know what I mean?
You see, you've hit the nail on the head, Emma, because Fred wanted the toast and Shane wanted the cutlery.
Yeah.
But you and I have to make it happen. That's the thing.
I know.
So we have to take one for the team. And you know what gets me every time is that I'm sure this has happened to you because I think it happens most couples. That then when you're the person, you're like, look, I'll take one for the team here. I'll ask for the cutlery. I'll ask for the toast. When they bring said items, your man is just like kind of making eye contact.
Oh, yeah, flirting his head off.
Yeah, just sorry about that now.
Mm.
And even when we were checking out, the people were apologising about the toast. I said, look, they want you to ask for the toast. But then a similar kind of, and I know, you know, it is something that people do associate with the Irish, but we are passive in that situation. I mean, that is our default position. So even last night now, I was actually so tired driving down in the car. Not because I'm always well able for driving, but it was just very hot and maybe something to do with being so pregnant or whatever. But we said we'd actually stay in Limerick because we got a really good deal. So I was like, sure, look, we'll stay. Chill out. It was in the evening time. So I was like, well, just have a bite to eat, go to bed. So then we went and we were quite late ordering the food in the bar. By the way, the place was lovely. Really, really nice. And we're in the bar and Fred had ordered an extra portion of chips. And then they bring down the two dinners and there were no chips. So Fred said, sorry, could I just get the chips? And your man said, I'm sorry, but the kitchen's closed. So the chef's gone, so I can't actually get the chips. So both myself and Fred were like, okay, fair enough. Your man started this thing up. Unless, like, if you wanted me to go out the back and, you know, I could get a bag of chips and I could turn the fryer on and I could fry the chips, like, I could do that. Who the hell is going to say, yeah, would you mind? We were like, look, it's fine, don't worry about it. But then today Fred was chatting to Carl Spain and he was saying, God, it's so hard in that situation to be assertive and to be like, but I did order the chips. You know, it doesn't come naturally to us. And Carl said that yesterday he was in Ballybunion and he ordered a chicken fillet roll.
Right.
He went out to the car and he was eating his chicken fillet roll and he's saying to himself, something's missing here. And he realised that you wouldn't have put the chicken in.
Yeah.
And Fred was like, did you go in and say it to her? And Kara was like, no, of course. I just F'd my lettuce roll. And he was sitting in the car park. I mean, you just can't do it.
No, you can't.
Like, as a people, we're just completely useless at asserting our consumer rights.
Oh, Jesus.
Carol spent $3.50 on a roll with flora and lettuce, iceberg lettuce, and he ate it.
Carol, what have you become? Jesus, like, he's assertive enough when he's ripping the piss out of you in a green room, but he won't just go and point out to somebody there's no chicken in his fucking roll.
Everyone, this is it. We're all assertive in those kind of situations, but, like, put me in front of a deli counter.
He's particularly assertive when it comes to that. Do you remember, Rose, you did it as well.
I'm not that assertive in those situations. No. But
do you remember that radio panel thing we were doing, and I was on it 1 week, and he was on a team. Stop.
Remember that, Emma?
We
need to do a whole episode on that.
Jesus Christ. But he was on a team. I don't know who. I was on a team with Joe Rooney. And I can't remember what we were laughing at, but we were having a great old giggle about us. So that day or something, they had to change the stories or, like, whatever. It was just, you'd have to do a sketch with your teammate on a news story. And they wanted us to do a story. It's meant to be like a mashup. Do you remember this? And they wanted us to do a story with Arlene Foster and Conor McGregor. And I think the day before we all met to do the show was when all the stuff about Conor McGregor was coming out. And they came in to tell us, like, we're just going to leave off. We've just checked it. Like, you know, we've made a couple of phone calls to HQ and we're just going to leave off the Conor McGregor stuff. And we're there, like, fucking pissing ourselves. Like, yeah, do you fucking think? Like, you know what I mean? It was Arlene Foster.
I don't know, is this the week to do a sketch about the man and factor in Cash for Ash, Arlene Foster?
The sketch was to do with Arlene Foster and Conor. Sorry, it gets worse. It was Arlene Foster and Conor McGregor on a nudist beach.
I mean,
do you know what I mean?
Like, read the room.
The whole thing was just going to be sexual innuendos. So anyway, it's like something
they do in 1997. You know, it's such a spitting image kind of sketch. I mean, it's 2020. The climate has changed.
So me and Joe were having a good old fucking laugh about this, that, like, they felt like they needed to go and check and then come and tell us that we were going to drop Conor McGregor from the sketch. Like, oh, okay. So anyway, Carl Spain is he's on a team with Sharon Mannion. And all day, do you remember, like, we're in this, like, I swear to God, it's like a little attic room, isn't it? It's like about the size of a box room.
Yeah. It did feel like, I mean, it definitely felt like kind of a human trafficking situation because the windows, for some, like, I think you and I discussed this, for some unknown reason, the floor was painted black, the ceiling was painted black, the walls were painted black, and they had also blacked out the windows. So whatever was happening in that room, everyone was like, no, we need to just keep this to ourselves. So it was just a really, really strange space.
Because you
And then when you said, I'll just grab a coffee at lunch. No, you don't go out for lunch. We bring you your lunch. What?
Oh, at the start, I think we actually went to the place for lunch, but they felt like that was taking up too much time. So they just ordered it in, which really put us.
We're going to the toilet and stuff.
And you see, and 1 week as well, we were doing it as well, and the other team at lunchtime went off to have pints, and I think they kind of, like, took an extra long lunch. I don't know if I can name those people, but they're a grand that came to the show, but they went off for pints, and then they brought the pints to the live recording, and they're like, you might just put the pints on the floor, it doesn't look great, like, because all these people are just fresh out of work. And you're there, like you've already milled into a good few pints. But yeah, so they started bringing the food to us. But remember, because there was the team, so that was four. There was the presenter, five. And then there was a couple of like writers floating around as well. So there was like at least, and then there was the producer. So there was about like eight or nine people in this little tiny room.
It was intense. It was definitely intense.
And there was just a big fucking deal about like, it was the usual things like, but like there was a big fucking deal about the printer and stuff and, oh, send it to this email address. No, send it to the other one. This isn't fucking working. It was just like tensions were constantly fucking high in this room. And then Carl is there and he is ripping the piss. Like, not in a bad way, but he's slagging Sharon incessantly. Like, oh, it's, but it's all just real, like, you know, stupid stuff. Like, she just say something. And then Carol say, oh, that's not what you said last night. Danny was loving it, like her husband. Like, oh, Danny was loving it as well. Like, so as if he's having a threesome with Sharon and her husband. But then Sharon at one point she said like, Jesus Carol, you just shut the fuck up.
And did he?
He did for about 5 minutes, like. But it was just in that moment we were in the attic, we were waiting on the food. There was always a big delay with the food as well, and the big delay with the coffee. And it was just tense, and I think there was one bottle of water floating around. But sure, look, we were happy with the work, weren't we?
We're just like, oh my God, my pits after that day. I foolishly wore really heavy black woolen tights to that. Can you imagine what was going on with my badge by the end of the day? And I was also with Joe, who we love. And by the way, I did his podcast this week, Podaroony. It was great old crack. So do check that out as well. And actually, it was funny because I was going to say it was funny, and now I'm about to say something I said. But look, just please ignore that as a prelude.
Caught yourself there, didn't you?
Listen to me. Oh, wait, did I tell you something funny that I said? But I thought it was kind of funny. Joe was saying something about Father Ted, and I was like, hang on, were you on Father Ted? And we did have a good laugh about that. I know I built it up too much, but look, it was off the moment.
Are you sure Joe was laughing at this, or were you just not hearing the echoes of your own laughing at your own joke?
To be honest, I think he did start to buffer. So at that time, it probably was just the echo. You're right.
May have been. I couldn't be positive, but he may have heard that one before.
Look, it was so natural in that moment.
Yeah, it was the timing.
You had to be there. So that's about it, really. And stayed in Limerick, met up with a few friends in Dublin. All good. Bit concerned now where on the Saturday where we stayed. Lovely spot in Dublin, I won't name it, but they weren't doing any of the menu wiping down, which distressed me. And then the next day I was handed a marmalade which had already been opened and somebody had already used it. And I just thought, are we wiping down? Like, are places wiping down? Maybe they're not.
Well, when I was in the hairdressers, they were wiping down the seats and they had a special area for you to wait and all this stuff. They seemed to be like very efficient and whatever. But that day, I went into the Costco, always more to offer. And there is, do you know what winds me up about my local Costco? There isn't more to offer. It's just a glorified fucking off license. And I constantly go in there trying to get the scrapings of a dinner from what they have on offer.
At the risk of burning brands, I've never gone into a cost cutter and been satisfied. Let's just put it that way.
Do you know what I mean, right? So I went in there, but it's always buzzing because it's an off license, and nobody was wearing any masks and whatever. But then I went in there 2 days later, and I'd say 60% of people were wearing masks. So I just feel like it's taking some places longer to get on with, best practice, quicker than others. But the pubs and shit are really suffering because I think most people are like, oh, could you be arsed getting kicked out after 90 minutes? Like, you're only fucking getting started.
Well,
unless you're specifically going to have food.
But I wonder, are they, when I say, are they really enforcing that? Like, I mean, can you really ask somebody to leave after 90 minutes? I'm not sure.
Well, anyone I've heard going has. And as you know, Darren Conway, he said, I was going to go for a pint, but I'm just not hungry. I mean, this is my constant problem. I was going to go to the local on Saturday, but I was like, I'm not hungry.
It's not the same experience at all. But at the same time, I think it's probably, it's hard for small businesses and pubs in particular that have been pushed back now to the 10th of August. But I suppose it is probably because you do have a certain amount of people who are saying, oh, exactly that, I will go to the pub only, I'm not hungry. It is probably stemming the flow of people to the pubs, which is ultimately what their goal is.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess it is probably having the desired effect.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I agree with you on all that. But it's just like, I think it's kind of probably people are holding back going probably even more than they thought they would, I think.
Well, I think now, to be honest, after Saturday, I was quite disappointed with the lack of wiping and stuff like that. And this was a nice place. You know, it was not, you know, it was very much like nice place, close to the centre of Dublin. But I just felt, okay, they were wearing masks, but there wasn't enough actual cleaning going on.
Do you know what now? Just thinking you talking about being out and about and whatever, after you have baby, I'd say for a good year, but you'll get slightly better over time. You'll be the biggest lightweight ever. You can't handle drink after babies. You'd be the cheapest date going.
Such a money saver.
What?
That's going to be such a money saver. Honestly, those pints of triple vodka were killing me.
I know.
A year of being a lightweight will be grand.
Two drinks and you'd be pissed. Like, I could never drink the way, I could never have the capacity for drink the way I would have when I was 17.
Baby. Do you know what though? It's terrible because we went to Bones, which is a lovely pub in Dingle, and actually, to be honest, they are killing it with the whole mask thing and the hygiene and the sanitizer and all that. And it's a lovely tactic, courtesy of Louise. Thank you, Louise. But I have
Sorry
to say
now. How many things have you plugged now in this podcast?
Oh, well, listen, come on. We gotta make
the Dotty Show, Joe Rooney, your hairdressers. How many restaurants have we plugged now at this stage?
Listen, I just think it's not... Look, I feel I don't do enough plugs, to be honest.
Show me the money.
On the top of my request page, I have written plug because I don't plug places that I go to. And you're very good at plugging, you know, your hair person or your nail person. And then I felt bad because where I was getting my nails done, it was Nails Inc. I mean, you could have had anyone.
Oh, here we go. And I just tick again.
I didn't have that personal connection with the nail person that you had with what was her name again? Your nail girl, was it Amber or something?
You're not even listening to a word I say, are you? You're just getting the general gist of what I'm saying. Her name is April. You can't pretend that you have the same natural ability, camaraderie with people that I do, Julie. You can't be just wedging all your plugs into one episode.
Oh,
so transparent.
Okay. Well, look, it's just something I'm going to try to do a bit more. But anyway, and Anonymous, I'm sorry that I don't have your people skills, Emma. Anonymous Pub in Dingle. I was there, the sun was shining, and Fred was drinking a San Miguel, and the girl across the way was drinking a Sauvignon Blanc, and I thought, oh, I really can't wait to go on the lash, which is terrible because so many of my friends who've had babies have said to me, I never miss drink when I was pregnant, and I just think I must be really, really dependent.
They missed the Coke though, didn't they?
Deco? Well, come here. Speaking of Coke.
Yeah.
If you see, well, sorry, this is like a forced segue now, but look, yeah. It is what it is. Did you see Princess Beatrice's private ceremony during the week? She got hitched.
That was very handy for them that they were able to kind of get away with having a private ceremony, wasn't it?
Using COVID as an excuse for not having daddy in the pictures. I mean, she obviously had, I mean, look, you would feel bad for the girl in the sense that, you know, she obviously had to have this private ceremony. We would all agree it's not about COVID. It's about the fact that her dad now, there is no way he can be wheeled out at a big official royal wedding. Like, it just isn't happening. So this was an out for everyone involved. And I have to say, I did think the dress was fab and I thought the flowers were gorgeous. And she did look very happy and they wheeled Granny out and they wheeled Grandad out and all the rest. But, I mean, that's really probably what it was that they just, I mean, Andrew has tarnished the prospect of a royal wedding forever for those two girls.
Oh, yeah, they're not getting that. Like, when was it, was that the date that it was meant to happen?
May was this, but you see, they had to postpone it previously, didn't they, as well? So that was the second time it was postponed.
I'm sure she's grand, but I just find it very hard to warm to somebody who looks that royal.
It's pretty regal, isn't it? It's quite a regal look. Well, I'll tell
it
you,
almost, it almost makes sound. Like, she's so royal looking. Like, and with that face, if they go on to like have a family or whatever, it's so strong. That's in the gene pool for like that particular look. That's in the gene pool for at least three decades or three generations.
It's a lot of dominant genage.
Like, imagine you're, you know, working in a restaurant or whatever, and you're going about your business and you're going to the different tables and you rock up to a table and she's there with a menu in her hand. Wouldn't you just go, fuck, we're in for a long one?
Yeah, like, would you be thinking kind of a bit of a Karen? Is that the vibe? Would you just think, okay, yeah, no, here we go?
It would just be a lot of questions and you're just like, you know, what are the goujons made of? And you're like, I don't know, I'll check what it says on the packet. Do you not like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it would just,
well, in her defense on that, I will say, I don't think, you know, in her defense, I don't think that situation would arise, because safe to say they are not going to be attending a Pizza Express anytime soon. So I don't think the conversation about the goujons is really going to happen. But I get where you're going with
it. Well, not anytime soon, but if they want to do something special, they will be hitting the Pizza Express.
Yeah. If they really want to market. I do think, because apparently Beatrice and Fergie, they were the ones that really pushed Andrew into that interview.
Oh, they're so thick. It's unreal.
It's, yeah, I mean, you would say they, like, Beatrice lost a few points for me on that one. But in saying that, and this shows how superficial I am, I do think her dress was nice. Dress was nice, but judgment very, very poor.
Why did they tell him to do that interview? Like, do they watch like one of Diana's ones and say, just look up from the ground and kind of give like little puppy dog look and you'd be grand?
I think they focused too much on his eyes. It was a lot of puss in boots eyes going on, whereas they didn't really spend much time looking at the content of the interview itself. It's funny because actually Fred bought me the Prince Andrew, you know, the Epstein and the Palace book.
Oh yeah.
And he handed it to me yesterday and was like, it's signed by Prince Andrew. And we all had a good laugh.
Ooh, sounds nice though.
I'd say that could be, but you know what? I mean, like myself and yourself, the book is not going to tell me anything I don't already know. I mean, you and I could write a book on it on the podcast.
I know, like if we had a week just to focus on that, we'd get it done.
Yeah.
We might start adding a few pictures or whatever towards the end, or hypothetical scenarios and cut loose a bit. But I mean, a good week and a half, we could knock it out of the park, I reckon.
You know what, Emma? I'm after opening up a Google Doc right now and I've shared it with you. Let's just get this done.
Imagine us on Ireland AM promoting that.
That'd be great. Do you know what, actually? An up to 90 take on the Royals. Now, that'd be a bit of fun. Chapter on Princess Diana, back but previous to the Panorama days. Do you remember when Princess Diana was obviously at the height of her eating disorder and throwing herself, like she was at the height of bulimia and throwing herself downstairs, and people were saying things like, yeah, but she looks great though. Like she just looks so well. Everyone was just focusing on the aesthetic, saying, yeah, you know, she's a bit of trouble at home, all's not well, but she really can pull off a set of pearls.
And you see, it's completely true, because when Fergie piped up and said, oh, I have eating disorders too, everyone just went, fuck off. Didn't they though?
No,
Fergie, that's the pain of the ginger. Nobody gave a shit. Yeah. They're just like, oh, shut up, you fat bitch.
Sure, this is, but look, it's the ginger factor. Exactly. You see, this is it. But no, I think actually an up to 90 take on the Royals could be a nice little stocking filler. Obviously, you know, we're not going to have it right. You know, we have some time constraints here.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Christmas 2021. But listener, get in touch if you'd buy it.
Yeah.
That's a gentleman's agreement. Tell us that. And then when we release it, we will hold you to that gentleman's agreement.
Well, if we could get like 4 or 5 people to say that they'd probably definitely buy it, we could definitely screenshot that and send it to a publishing agent. Couldn't we?
Oh, I'm just I think a publisher would be mad to say no to 4 or 5 screenshots.
Oh, I love when it just starts coming together organically on the podcast.
Finally, Emma, maybe we can do this thing full time.
Looks like we made it after all.
Slaving away at the day jobs. This is happening, Emma. This is our big break now. And we must include, we'll have to send it from your email because you've got the amazing headshot. So we're just going to have to go with that. Because my headshot, I haven't brushed my hair in it. So I just think, let's just put best foot forward.
When you were saying big break there, I automatically thought about that Saturday evening, Saturday night entertainment show, Big Break. Like, what the fuck were we thinking? Do you remember Big Break?
Remind me again, Big Break.
So Big Break was presented.
Oh, the snooker one.
What? Yeah, the snooker one. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Every girl went through a snooker phase in a bid to forge some kind of bond with our distant Irish 80s father. Everyone, come on. Absolutely. It's like when you meet the little girls and they tell you, you know, like, Daddy's really into Formula One. So they're like, I love Formula One. You're like, do you? Or do you just want to have a conversation with your dad?
I'm like, always suspicious of people into Formula One though.
I just don't get it at all. And it is a big thing. You know, people travel around for the rallies, all that kind of crack. Just don't. I mean, the only interesting bit is when they're getting the petrol. I think that says it all.
Well, I think Formula One, it's real like, it's just full of ticks, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't know where they tick, but I just don't get it. I mean, I find it quite disturbing. You know, if you go into a house and Formula One is on the TV and you are kind of thinking, but they're literally going around in a circle. Like, you are watching people drive in a circle.
It's just, but you know what, like, how much do those cars cost? And it's just a whole lot of bollocks, like.
Is this when you go all Greta on my app?
It's just a waste. I know everything is a waste of time. I completely get that. Everything that doesn't involve feeding yourself and whatever is a waste of time, but it really is like a waste. Like, this is a waste. This podcast is a complete and utter waste of time. Like, it's a waste of time, but it's not as bad a waste of time as Formula One.
Yeah, no, I think some things are more of a waste of time than others. And I know I'm going to get a bit of flack now for saying that, you know, little girls, when they tell me they're into Formula One, I presume it's because they want to build some kind of relationship with their father. I mean, I will get people writing and saying maybe they just like Formula One. Maybe they do, but I hope that's not true. Yeah. I hope I'm right on that one.
But why, like, you need to spread your wings a bit. Like, if your social circle is full of little girls, I mean, there's so many questions there. And why is this the first question? Why is this the first question you're asking them? Why are you asking
them? When I meet a little girl, I say, look, do you like Formula One? And then I start to prod.
Okay. Then you know where you're at with the girl, what you're doing.
I wasn't probing until I did that show with Johnny. And then I realized, I was like, I need to dig deeper. I need to scratch beneath the surface. But big break, I wasn't it. My favorite was John Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Who was your fave?
John Paris, was he the guy with the glasses?
No, he was like a little chubby scouser.
With dark hair.
Yeah.
Who was the guy with the unibrow? Now, he came later. He would have been younger than those guys. Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Oh, Ronnie O'Sullivan, yeah.
Yeah, he was my favourite.
He was, I think Ken Doherty, I never really felt the love with Ken Doherty, purely because obviously he was brilliant in what he did, but he was John Parrott. I was just obsessed with John and his little accent and his, I mean, Ken was there to play snooker. I liked the guys that were kind of trying to, you know, like Jim Davidson was great for, you know, he was a great addition to that show. Well, obviously, sure, he was the main guy in the show. But
and John Virgo.
Yeah, but even at the time, I didn't get a lot of Jim's jokes, but I knew they were kind of, you know, risque enough in places.
Yeah.
But Ken was just like, I'm here to play snooker. That is it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but I'd have a lot of love for Ken, seeing as he's, you know, he's a local boy and all that.
Is he from Rathfarnham?
Well, no, he's from Ranelagh. So it's fairly close by. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, and sure, look, he was super talented and all that. And like, you don't, you know, ultimately, the only reason I like the other fella is because I just like doing Scouser accents. So
yeah,
what, you know,
come on.
Like, don't come to me for opinions. So Ken, no, I'm sure he's a sounder. Come here, did you see, before we wrap it up, did you see Kanye today? I don't know if you saw it. Oh, having a complete melter, the poor fella. Like, really distressing to watch.
Is he like, this is the thing, I think... It's hard enough if you're going off on one, but when you have money, I mean, there's pros and cons to that then, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because like sometimes when you don't have money, like, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have a bit of money, but your life does seem to get more complicated.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm having a melter, I'm just sending you a 20-minute WhatsApp audio.
Yeah.
I'm not calling a rally in South Carolina.
No.
To be met with hundreds of smartphones. Everyone recording for the gram. It's there, it's documented for the world to see. As you say, it does complicate things sometimes having that kind of wealth behind you.
Yeah. And so like even like with Carl Spain sitting in his car eating a salad baguette. Okay, that is, I know I'm slagging him there, whatever, but obviously that is tragic. But if you're Kanye West and you get a lettuce baguette instead of a chicken fillet, that's not just your problem. That's like, getting that role would have involved like probably six members of staff. So if there's six people kind of in a bit of a like fuck's sake mood, it's going to amplify the mood. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, I mean, at least, as you say with Carol, at least that was kind of a private tragedy.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it didn't involve other people. So it's very sad for Carol, but at least, as you say, you know, there wasn't like an entourage involved.
There was no other casualties, you know?
Yeah, there was no other collateral damage there.
I do, well, not that I particularly give a shit, but like on a human level, I do feel sorry for him. Now,
oh, sure, how could you not? I think everyone does now after today.
But like, I said, like, you know, obviously he's having a bit of a time for it, but like, you don't bring up abortion in relation to your own children. Like, what the fuck?
No, and to be honest, I didn't understand it because we were all watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians at the time. And like, it seemed to me that Kim was really gunning for a baby. No more than, by the way, that is not a criticism, like no more than myself the last couple of years. So that I just find it very strange. Like, it's, I mean, that's only an aside. Obviously, I think everyone was saying the same thing, that like it's so outrageous to actually say that about your daughter, who's what, like nearly eight or something. Mm. So who's at an age where she can get stuff. But it's just, I just found it so, it was really, really bizarre. And then the thing about like, oh, you know, everyone should get like $1 million or whatever. It's just, it's sad because, I mean, a few weeks ago, I was saying on the podcast, I can see why people would vote for him. And then you see him in these type of moments and you think, my God, it's so sad that it's come to this, that he's having to be so public with his distress. And obviously he's struggling a lot. And, you know, it comes back to, again, as well, what we were saying about Britney the last week, that it almost feels like you just want someone to protect him from himself, maybe at the moment.
Yeah. But I suppose whose job is that? You know what I mean?
But sure, then we get into the whole, I was going to say we get into the whole free Britney territory, but you know, with the whole conservator thing and all that, I mean, that is supposed to be ultimately protecting people from themselves.
Yeah.
So then, you see, doesn't that come with its own, you know, I mean, that's problematic as well, I suppose. But just, I mean, seeing the man today now, he just seems like a person in distress. And you see, then it must be very hard, like for Kim, and like they have four kids together. It's, you know, it's not a situation. I actually didn't see anyone take the piss out of him, which I was delighted to see. I, you know, on social media anyway, as of maybe an hour before I started the podcast. But I think everyone's kind of saying the same thing, that it's just a bit sad rather than, you know, it's not, nobody seems to be taking the piss, which is good.
Yeah. And now I do, I defo like feel for him, whatever, but I don't know where he goes from here now, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, and especially for the family, I can only imagine how hard it is to navigate these things.
Yeah.
Because how do you tell someone to stand down, and you need to not be on your phone, you need to not be calling these rallies, you need to not be talking to people or doing interviews, you know, it's just, I can imagine when somebody's in that space, it's, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be the most receptive either.
I know, especially like the people that are closest to them as well. He's obviously in a very paranoid kind of headspace. So he's, you know, he's probably not going to be sure whether people have his best interests at heart, even if they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, not that, and I'm not equating it at all, but like, even when I'm in a very bad headspace, I mean, nobody can talk any sense to me.
Yeah,
you know, so it's hard. It's, you know, it's just, I mean, but I would feel for, like, you'd feel for Kim and you'd feel for the family and all that, but and like, then people did make the point as well today that I guess it might be kind of a dangerous game to be playing politically speaking as well, because then some people were saying, oh, this is maybe going to take from Biden and his campaign. But I mean, I personally can't see this Kanye thing making much of a dent now.
I think always with political stuff, there's always going to be the side story of the bit of gossip or, you know, one of those stories to kind of complement it all.
Yeah, like kind of a tangential kind of thing that's going on.
Yeah, which is easy for, like, say, the masses to catch a hold of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whether it be like somebody's running mad daughter or, you know, crazy son-in-law or the ex or, you know what I mean, something kind of along those lines. Like, I was only thinking there the other day, do you remember John Major?
Oh, do I what?
And do you remember his son was going out with the model? Was her name Emma Noble or something? She was like a glamour model.
I was going to say she was a glamour model. I'll look her up now here. Yeah. Emma Noble. Yeah.
But, well, obviously.
They got married, though, didn't they?
They got married. Yeah.
Emma Noble. Yeah.
But there was a period of time when they couldn't really get anything that interesting, or obviously that changed, but they couldn't get anything that interesting or saucy on John himself. So then when they saw the song going out with this one, they're just like, oh, thanks be to Jesus.
But sure then, and of course the irony being, like, sure, John was having the long-term affair with Edwina Curry.
I know, yeah.
Like, we can't, this guy.
So I don't know, maybe he threw his son to the wolves as his fucking scapegoat, going, you go off and distract them for a while.
I just remember, do you remember Edwina on the Late Late? And it was funny because it was still at a time when Ireland and England were just very, very different when it came to discussing extramarital affairs.
Yeah. Like, if you were a woman and you had an affair with a married man, you were a homewrecker. No questions asked. That was it, really, wasn't it?
Oh, but sure. I mean, do you remember? I think I'm still getting over the Terry Keane interview on the Late Late.
I think there would still be a bit of that attitude going around, wouldn't it? Like, if you were a woman who got with a man who had previously been married, there's a bit of that.
It's not going to elicit much sympathy still from an audience, you know, like, if yeah. You know, and we've all been, I mean, I'm like hands in the air, like back in the day, you know, I like would have been with a guy who had a girlfriend and stuff at the time. It was a long running thing, or, you know, back in the day. But it's just something that even now, if I was to discuss it, I wouldn't be expecting much sympathy.
Will we talk about, will we name and shame these people on Patreon?
Oh, do you know what? We should. No. Like, the Dingle listeners can get in touch because everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, come on, like, please. But that time with Terry Keane, it was a bit mad. But I think when Edwina was on as well, like, she was so. It's because she was so open and kind of casual the way she discussed it, even though it was not obviously a casual relationship, like there was a serious feeling there. I just remember being completely floored.
But she wasn't begging the audience for forgiveness and understanding.
No.
She didn't give a fuck.
None of that.
She just told her story. And people were
like,
oh,
this is what happened. Make of it what you will.
I know. Oh, fuck's sake.
But sure, look, that was a defining moment for me in fourth class. There you go. And do you remember, just actually as a last point in Edwina, it always stuck with me. Do you remember she lost her job because of a salmonella scandal in the eggs?
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, whereas, you know, in Ireland, the politicians get away with such murder. But, like, if you find a bit of salmonella in your eggs in England, like, that Minister for Agriculture is gone. That's it, done. Book stops with them.
Jesus. Oh, Edwina.
So, sure, look, We'll chat on Wednesday. Oh, before we go, we did say we're having a Zoom party.
Yeah. What's the date?
It's lockdown. 31st of July, which is a Friday. And I know we both said that we have, you know, referenced these, you know, mysterious Zoom parties before. It is definitely happening, and we're going to discuss on Patreon. We want people to give ideas of what format you want this Zoom party to take. So we've a couple of ideas. We'll throw it up as a post on the Patreon and you can let us know.
Yeah. We do it about, I don't know, 8:30 or something like that. That'd be okay.
8:30 would be a lovely time. Yeah, let's do that. So 8:30, July 31st. If you want to have the crack with myself and Emma, please come. I always feel, you know, it's that thing of when you're throwing a party, I really hope people will come, but they will, of course.
Yeah, we had a great turnout for that.
Yeah, we'll be there. I'm sure if nobody else comes, it's just going to be a regular up to 90.
Yeah. And yes, you can send things in advance if you like, or whatever, because I know some people wouldn't be, they'd love to just leave their fucking mic on mute and just watch. So, you know, if that's the kind of person, if that's your vibe, I totally get it. So
totally get that voyeuristic vibe. Absolutely. That's a really good idea as well, Emma. It's been an absolute pleasure.
As always, I'll chat to you soon, I suppose.
Of course. I'll talk to you in 2 days.
2 days. Okay, better go and do some stuff. So have something to tell you.
I'm very excited. Are you going to do the God Bless? Or?
Oh, yeah.
This is a long goodbye over here. I'm like, come on with the God Bless.
God Bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.